Hey, it's Arrow on iHeartRadio. Somewhere in your life, you've already met this guy. His art has been a major part of your life for over four decades. He's performed with one of the biggest bands of all time, the Bee Gees. Well, you can't tell. He's that guy that was always found in the back of the stage, the one on the drums. We are unplugged and totally uncut with Dennis Bryan. The Beatles had already set the pattern, make it about the pop and get it out there and roll. But sir, it was your drum beat that reignited our passion for music.
All right. I like that.
It's what you brought to that era of music that changed everything, and wow, for you to be the keeper of that, it had to have been one of the greatest gifts.
Well, it was just something that came naturally. I started playing drums when I was 15, and I never had any formal education as far as lessons or being taught professionally. I just listened to records and try to copy them.
I'll tell you where I chuckled the most in your book. It didn't matter how big the show was, big or small, dude, you wanted to get paid, and I love a performer that knows their value.
Yeah. Well, secretly, of course, I would have done it for nothing, but you have to, you know, you have to say your principles, otherwise, you know, as a musician, you get walked over. People know that you will play for free. But even if it's just, a small payment of even dinner, just something.
Being on the road and performing inside that recording studio, they always say that the 70s were the producer generation years. But yet, you still had to perform that drum beat and that Bee Gees sound live. Was it difficult to take it to the stage?
No, it wasn't. It was difficult in the studio because I had to come up with the parts. And there were no charts. You know, it was up to me what I played, and I would just interpret the songs and, record what I thought was right, for that particular song. As far as taking it to the stage, I'm one of those kind of drummers that try and play exactly what's on the record and, deviate slightly, but keep it sounding more like the record than a jam.
That's got to be that side of your personality where when you were saying that you weren't trained, because that's the rawness and the true talent coming out in you to be able to stay that true.
Well, once you make the record, the parts are in your head, so it's easy just to play them. You know, it's always nerve-wracking for the first two or three shows. I always get nervous before any performance, but as soon as I get on the stage and sit down on my drums, pick up my sticks and start counting that song in, everything goes away.
And even before you got with the Bee Gees, I mean, you had a history in music. What was it fun being the guy that's in the back of the stage, or what kept pushing you forward to start making a big difference?
It's just the way it went. You know, it was just my fortune. It was just my luck that I didn't try to. I had dreams of being in a band, in the biggest band that came out of Cardiff, Wales, my hometown, when I was 15 years old. That's what my dream was. And you always dream that you're going to make it to the charts. And, that happened with Amen Corner. And all those dreams were realized, but I never thought that it would, go to the next level with the Bee Gees and come to America and have all that huge success with Saturday Night Fever. It just seemed to progress by itself.
Your book gives us an inside of the Bee Gees that many of us have never seen, because I've always thought of the Bee Gees as being kind of mysterious. We know the songs, but we don't know the people. And your book gives us pictures. It tells us stories. It really is that handbook.
Well, good. You know, I tried to make it that. You know, I tried to keep it positive. You know, one of the criticisms I've had about the book is that there's not enough dirt in it. Well, you know, that's not me. And, you know, I'm not telling that story. I'm telling the story of the family and how they are. You know, they are and were great people.
How was Andy Gibb? He had to have been incredible because, I mean, he was my John Lennon when I was a kid.
Yeah, he was. You know, I mean, I met Andy on my first tour with the Bee Gees. He had to be 14 or 15 years old. He was a boy. But he still had that drive. You know, he was always playing Barry's guitar and, you know, singing in the dressing room. He had no fear with an audience. And, you know, I got to, you know, to be with him when he, you know, basically grew up.
Did you feel like a fly on the wall sometimes when you would get the four of those brothers together because of their harmonies? And it's like you got to see it.
Oh, absolutely. I tried to be a fly on the wall. You know, it didn't seem like I was one. I tried to be one, and I would be around the corner when they were, you know, writing those songs, just to, you know, see how it was done. And those guys had a load of humor in their lives. They were all comedians, and they'd be, you know, huddled together writing the song, and, you know, they would be just chuckling and laughter, and, you know, from out of that humor would come a melody, and sometimes even a lyric. It was just absolutely beautiful, and then they just take it from there.
Oh, look what they did with I Started a Joke. I mean, it had to have started in a joke.
When I was with Amen Corner, we were in competition with the Bee Gees. You know, we'd do the same TV shows. You know, we had to hit records at the same time as they did. And there was a big TV show in Europe, in Germany, called Beat Club. And we'd be going out, we'd be at London Airport going to Germany, and they'd be coming back from the same show. And it was always Morris that would come over to our band and, you know, give us grief, you know, tell us, hey, you guys suck, you know. And he'd flash that big Morris smile and shake everybody's hand and say, yeah, you know, you guys are great, you deserve everything.
Being that moment with the brothers Gibb when they went from that acoustic trio into using the high falsettos, that was a movement that many bands probably could have never survived, but you were there.
Yeah, that was, again, from my recollection, it came, you know, we were recording Main Course with Arif Mardin, who was an amazing producer. And, you know, they were around the microphone doing vocals. And they were always on stage, even, you know, if there was two or three people in the control room, you know, it was a show as far as they were concerned, and they'd be, you know, cutting up and making strange voices, and, you know, then Barry started going into falsetto, you know, just making fun of themselves, and the Reeves said, wait a minute, hold on, that sounds really good, you know, go there and do that, and so that's... As far as I remember, that's how it was born.
Dennis, your book is a brilliant step into the history of rock and roll, and you yourself, sir, should be a part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because it was your drum beat that inspired this nation to dance. And to this day, we still dance to your music.
Well, thank you. That's a huge compliment, and, you know, I feel very humble. Thanks.